Put me back. back together. Now every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you say no more, and you still call me friend. The God of the mountains is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again.
You're the only one who cares. guys all know this. Let's lift it up today. Ask the Holy Spirit to come into our place.
There is nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your there is nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, your presence, let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood your glory, God, is what our hearts
Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus didn't say you might find rest, or that somehow you'll find rest as you wander aimlessly through this life. He said, "Come to me, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest." It's a promise. You can take Jesus at his word. You can choose to take all your cares and worries, anxiety and pain, habits and hurts, and give them to Jesus. Are you restless? Are you weary and worn out? If given the opportunity, could today be that day of rest?
Good morning, Haven Community Church. All right, there's a good group here today. Thank you for singing so great. Will, do you see anything missing? Okay, so Jack is not with us today. He had the very current event experience of being exposed to COVID. So he is in quarantine, unfortunately, with a wedding coming up next week. So please pray for all that. He's feeling well, and so you will see him in a little bit. I'll tell you that. So anyway, let's go ahead and move forward with the service. But welcome to Haven Community Church. We're glad that you're here. As Jack often says, we don't think it's by accident that you are. So we hope that God can meet you today and be with us through the service. So let's start our prayer time. We have some prayer requests here. I'm going to juggle a little bit because I don't have this form. We have a prayer from Donna saying her niece Hannah, who just had a baby, I guess, is in the hospital with COVID. And so please pray for that whole family. Joanna and Ron said prayers for Lou's healing, Lou Show healing. He's going into rehab this week, so those have been praying. Pray for the Cohen wedding. Yes, thank you. Just do that. For Haven Church, yes, and for all the Stephen ministers. We've got a request from Patty Miller. Please pray for her brother Paul. We all know Paul is in hospice now and his family. And also pray for a friend who had a massive heart attack last night. So God knows who that is. Also, Joanne said, pray for Ariana Brown, 9 months old. She fell and broke her collarbone and has a hairline skull fracture. So please pray for healing for her. And then I also had a couple that came in the prayer list. I guess continued prayers for Debbie Ross. She's been moved from ICU, which is great. And then continued prayers for Greg Harvey, who is still struggling with very difficult diagnosis and potential for clinical trials. So just pray for that family as well. So let's go to the Lord now in prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this day and thank you for all those that are here with us. Lord, this world is kind of crazy and you never know what's going to be thrown our way. And Lord, we know that you're with us in all the things that that we have to deal with. Lord, we pray for Jack today and the family. We just ask that everyone be kept whole and well, and for the Cohen wedding coming up next week, Lord, pray for that. We pray for the folks that Donna's request for her niece, Hannah. We pray for Lou Show. We pray for Greg Harvey and for the others that we listed up on the list. Lord, we all have prayers in our own heart, and we know, Lord, that you are in our midst and that you can, you are the great healer in all the situations for people with their healing. Lord, we pray for Paul Smith and for the family of the Smiths that God would be with them in the time and give them peace. And Lord, as we go about this service today, we just ask that you be here. As we said, Holy Spirit, be with us in this place. And so we just pray that you would be with us. We pray that you would be with the message that Jack is going to give and with all the people that are here and in our midst. And Lord, we just give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, a couple quick announcements before I get off the stage here. everybody, you can see the announcements. I would say when you come in, take a look at the screens, and you can get caught up on a lot of things as well as our website. But a couple things. Youth group, there's a bonfire at Camp Pocomath on the 23rd of October. So if you're interested in that, please see Jen and folks on that. We continue to remind you, if you're facing a crisis, for Stephen Ministry, as also for Grief Share. And Grief Share is continuing to meet on Mondays. And so if you're interested in that, you can see Donna or you can see Joanna or folks on that. Paris Foundation, thank you. We've got all the meals. So great. Thank you. Everybody always come through. And I'll also say that the Elkton Community Kitchen, thank you. We've got all the meals. I guess, do we need anybody to serve or we got that too? We're all good. All right. Terrific. Great job, all. I'll also tell you that I don't think we announced before, but the Cecil County Pregnancy and Family Support Center, earlier this year we did the baby bottles. I don't know if anybody followed up, but you guys contributed $1,200 to that is amazing. Excellent job. And they wanted to announce they're going to be having a banquet coming up in the end of September. If you guys are interested in supporting, you can do that as well. And last but not least, women's group. If you are a woman, maybe even if you aren't, I guess we would welcome anybody. But Thursday nights from 6:30 to 8:30, we're going to be going through the book of Hebrews right here. So join us if you will. Okay? I think that's it for me. So without further ado, on to the message.
Everyone, welcome to our last week of our series. Our series, I Choose a Better Way. And I would say it's good to be here with you, but I'm not here with you. I am one of the people who was exposed to COVID-19 earlier in the week, so I cannot be here with you today because we got to do that quarantine thing. But I am glad that you are here, and I am here with you in the video. So what I want to do, it's kind of odd, but this is how I planned on starting this message. So what I want everybody right now, stand up where you are. Go ahead, stand up. Even if you're at home, stand up. I want you to stand to your feet. Okay, go on. I can see you. I'm watching online too. I can see you here. So stand, and then I want to ask you a question. The question is, how many of you are here? I know that's kind of funny because I'm here but not here. But how many of you are here right now? Raise your hand. Get it high. Okay. There we go. Now, what I'm saying is not just in the building or not just watching on church online, but you're actually here. You're actually present at this moment right now. So if you're here, I want you all to help me out. I want you to give a big yell. I want you to say, I'm here at the count of three. Ready? One, two, three. I'm here. Let's try it one more time. Let's do it really loud. Ready? One, two, three. There we go. I'm here. I'm here. So good job. Good job. So, and if you're watching online and you can't yell and people think you're crazy for yelling at your computer, go ahead and just type on Facebook Live, I'm here. So the cool thing is I'm really excited that you are here. I'm excited that I can be here at least through the technology with you. I was checking. It has been, I think, 90 weeks since the last time I was not in the church building, 90 weeks straight. All those times, but one or two, I gave a message. There was one or two times. So it's been a lot, and I didn't expect to have a break like this right now. But I'm really excited that you are here and really excited that I'm here with you on screen and watching online and all that kind of good stuff. So that being said, I am really glad that you are here in whatever capacity you're here. Now, the reason why I want to say that is because, unfortunately, some of you will not be here very long. You may be here physically, but mentally or emotionally, your attention may be somewhere else. And so some of you may have found that. You're right here, right now, in the moment. You said, I'm here, but your mind at some point in this message is going to begin to wander. Some of you, God help you, you're going to go ahead and you're going to be getting a text message in a couple minutes. And you're going to slide out your phone. You're going to take a look at that text message in a couple minutes. Others of you, God help you, you are really going to go ahead and you're going to initiate a text message to somebody. Some of you may be texting me right now. Others of you, you just can't take it anymore. You got to go ahead and check your Instagram feed or your Facebook feed to see what's going on there, and because you've been out of touch for the last 10 minutes. And so some of you will be thinking about, like me, what you're going to eat, that you're hungry, you want to eat something really good, or you're going to be thinking what you have to do today, tomorrow, the next day, whatever it is. Your brain is already going. Some of you may be like me, looking forward to the football game for the Eagles, the Ravens, the Steelers, or whatever team you may have. God forbid if it's the Cowboys. But you may be looking about that. I wonder if they're going to win today. Others of you may be worried about something. Your mind may be distracted toward your bills, or distracted toward the distracting person in the three rows ahead of you. Or maybe you saw a cute girl without a ring over at Wawa while you were getting your sizzly, and you were thinking about, and you look up and she's over here in the church. Who knows? But regardless of what you're thinking about, you said you were here, really present, but in a couple minutes, some of you may not be here. You'll be here physically, but you may not be here mentally. God's word, I'm going to go ahead today, and I really want to talk about this today. And in God's word, we're going to start with a message that's kind of unusual to start this message. But I'm going to give you the context. It's Jesus' first miracle. And if you don't know what that is, Jesus attended a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and it was an incredibly embarrassing moment for the wedding hosts. Back then, they would prepare for days of food and drink, and it was a big party for everybody. Since we have a wedding coming up this week, when it runs out, everybody go home. That's all I know, because I'm not planning for days of wine or food or whatever else. But the interesting thing is that's how the culture was back in the day. So if you ran out of anything, it was extremely disgraceful that you weren't a good host. And so at this moment, Jesus' mom runs up to him and says, "Jesus, do something about it." And Jesus said, "It's not my time. Mom, leave me alone." But instead, she says, "Just do what he says." And he says to the servants, he says, "Okay, go get these jars, these massive jars. And what I want you to do is fill them up with water." Now, not like little ball jars, but these jars would probably have been about this high. They would have held somewhere 20 to 30 gallons of liquid in them. And Jesus said, "What I want you to do is I want you to draw water out of the jars and then go give it to the master of the banquet." And here we have in John chapter 2, if you want to follow along in your Bible or in your worship guide, or also up here on in the screens. I'm on the screen, so they might be here too. The servants, they did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned to wine. He did not realize where it came from, though the servants, he did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water, they knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Hey, everybody brings out the best wine first. And then they bring out Ripple, like a cheaper wine, you know, the cheap stuff. They bring out," that's my interpretation, Ripple. "They bring that out after the guests are drunk." Okay, after the best are drunk, after they've had too much of the cheap stuff. And I used to always think this next line said, "But you saved the best for last." But it doesn't say that. And let's see what it says. It says, "But you saved the best till now." You've saved the best till now. So that's kind of where I want to focus today. And the title of today's message is, "Your Best Days Are Now." And for many of us, we're like, "Are you kidding me? It doesn't seem like that." But let's hang in here, and we're going to see what God wants to do. And let's start with a prayer. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just ask in the name of your Son, Jesus, that you would go ahead and invade our hearts and our lives in this moment. That this moment will be present with your goodness. And just as Jesus lived with undivided attention in the moment, draw us into your presence and your calling in the now. In the moment, right this moment, right now, to do your will on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, everybody yell it out, amen. All right. So what I want you to do right now is look at the person next to you and say, "Your best days are now." Go ahead. Now look at your second choice and tell them, "Hey, your best days are pretty good too." Okay, so go ahead and tell them that. They're right now. They're right now. All right, if you're still with me, hear this. Your best days are now. We are in this last week of our message series called I Choose a Better Way. And what we've been doing, we've been talking about how Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And most times in the church, we talk about the way. We don't talk about the way. We have the way that's there, but we talk about the truth and the life. And usually when we talk about the way, we talk about Jesus as the way to the Father. But we don't often talk about the way that Jesus lived and loved. Not just the truth that he taught, not just preparing a way, but that he provided the way for us in this world. Remember, we spent a lot of time talking about how Jesus never ran anywhere. He was busy, but never in a hurry. One of the most striking qualities about that way, the way that Jesus lived, is that no matter who he interacted with, no matter what he was doing, he was always, always fully present in the moment. Jesus always lived with undivided attention. We talked the last couple weeks about Jairus' daughter who was dying, and Jesus said, let's go with him, and he was walking, was never in a hurry. And then the woman with the issue of bleeding grabbed hold of his hem of his garment, and that had to take like at least 20, 30 minutes, and Jesus was not in a hurry. Matter of fact, somebody from Jairus' house came and said, hey, don't bother him anymore, she died. And Jesus said, I just believe. And then he moseys on over again. Jesus just walked anywhere he went. He was busy, but never in a hurry. And so what I want to do, I want to go to Luke's gospel today, and I want to share two back-to-back stories in Luke's gospel that show Jesus' heart for people right in front of him. And those, even though he was headed in an area, when they were placed in front of him, Jesus stopped and gave them his full undivided attention and being fully engaged in the moment. So here we go. Jesus is walking into Jericho. Now, if you don't know anything about Jericho, Jericho is the oldest city in the world. To this day, it's given the date that is the oldest city in the world. I've been there twice. We usually don't go now because there tends to be some conflicts and things when we've gone to Israel. And it's in more the West Bank area, in that area. And so it's just not, but the times that I've been there, you get to see this place that is the oldest city in the world. They even found some old ruins that kind of lead back to the original area that it was. So Jesus is going into Jericho. And I want to show you in a bit this picture of Jericho that's here. So you see this picture of Jericho. This is, anytime you see Bible pictures about Jericho, it usually shows a tree, about the second story we have, a sycamore tree. But mostly it goes back to Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. And this is probably, that would have been about 1,400 years before these stories that we're going to talk about right here. But this just kind of tells you that Jericho, even though the walls fell down, they did build next to that or on top of it and put walls back up. So Jesus is kind of once again near this walled city. So here he comes in, and Jesus was a rock star by this time. People just followed him. Crowds pressed in on him. No matter where he went, they just followed him all over the place. And so here's Jesus walking into this magnificent walled city. Huge crowds are gathering around him, pressing in on him, fighting for his attention. There's a lot of noise and a lot of yelling. Kind of reminds me of the boy bands of the 80s and the 90s. New Kids on the Block and New Edition and NSYNC and, I don't know, Backstreet Boys. You can go back to the Beatles and the people like that. Or if you like the anti-Beatles, the Monkees, who I always love watching that show. I forget his name. He played the main Partridge on the Partridge Family. You know who I mean? David Cassidy. That's who it is. David Cassidy. I was thinking of his brother Sean. But either way, his half brother Sean. But those guys were such big stars. Like anywhere they went, people just flocked them. And that's how Jesus is at this moment. And so here we go with our first story. It happens in Luke 18. Is what we're told, beginning with verse 35. And it says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man, now we know from other verses his name is Bartimaeus, was sitting at the roadside begging. Now, keep in mind, there's a lot of noise going on. Noise. And here's this beggar that's been sitting there. Hey, begging, money, alms, whatever. And he's sitting there, and he heard a crowd going by, and he said, what's going on? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. So meanwhile, there's all this crowd noise, and he starts yelling, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And it says that those who were there started to rebuke him and said, hey, be quiet. Be quiet. You ever been in a place where, like, there might be crowd noise or there might be a lot of people talking, but all of a sudden somebody stands up and says something and they're just like, hey, and everybody looks to them and it just doesn't fit? That's kind of what was going on here. And he's saying, hey, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And just kind of sit down. I remember in the early days of church when I was at St. John's United Methodist Church out near Louisville, Pennsylvania, we were there one time and there was about 20 people that were in the church, and this one guy came and he was visiting, and in the middle of the church service, he stood up and just started to talk, and he was talking, and I said, okay, thank you, and he sat down, and he stood up, and he started talking again. I was like, thank you, and I finally said, okay, can you just please sit down? But everybody in the church was just, it distracted them from everything else. Now, there probably was some foreign substances that help him be in that point at the moment, but what I'm saying is, by him calling out, it didn't fit with the rest of the crowd, and so that's the same thing that happened with Bartimaeus. So those around him said, be quiet, and he called out all the more, and Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. The disciples, we learn, were offended, and others around there. Jesus doesn't have time for this guy. Jesus is way too important. Matter of fact, we're going through Jericho to get somewhere else. He's too busy. We've got an agenda to keep. Jesus is not going to stop for some guy who's begging on the road. That does not fit in the schedule. So the disciples and others just rebuked this blind beggar, Bartimaeus, and said, just go away. And it's really interesting that, you know, when we talked last week about, and the other weeks about the woman with the issue of blood, everybody's pressing on Jesus, but she touches him, and Jesus says, somebody touch me. And then in this case, we have all this crowd noise going on, but Jesus stops and says, hey, bring him here. So here's this entourage that's going on, and Jesus just stops. Where everybody else is kicking him off to the side, Jesus says, bring him here. And when he came near, he began to talk to him. Jesus is fully engaged with one single hurting person, completely present in that moment. So Jesus stopped and decided to give him all of his attention. And what does Jesus say to him? He said, Jesus, son of David, have mercy. He said, come here. What do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, I want to see. In other words, could you just please heal me? Could you just please heal me and let me see? I haven't been able to see my whole life. And Jesus said, all right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. And I love this section here. Look at that word right there. Immediately, in that moment, he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they praised God. Isn't it interesting that the person who saw the best with their faith was the guy who couldn't see with his eyes? That it took him yelling all the more when everybody else didn't have time for him and assumed Jesus didn't have time for him, and Jesus to hear him and see his faith to let him see. And then it says in the scripture, when the people saw it, they praised God. Jesus spoke a miracle, a miraculous word of faith, and healed the man. There are two miracles that are here. Jesus healed him so he could see, and Jesus stopped for a guy that no one else had time for. He fully engaged with the person that was right in front of him. Right there in front of him. A little bit ago, I was Jacob's my oldest son, and he was coming home from work, and on I-95, he called me and said, hey, my tire blew, and it's like completely shredded. I said, you got to be kidding me. He's like, no. And I was settling down. I was getting settled down for a night. I was going to eat something, just sit there and relax a little bit. And so he called me. So I did the dad thing. I put on my shoes. I got my stuff dressed. I made sure I had the right tire iron because he didn't have one in his car. And so I got all that stuff, made sure I had a couple different ones. And I took off, and I said, share with me your location. And he shared with me his location. And I went and found him and looped back around. We were just a little bit south of Havre de Grace. I pull up, and his tire's completely shredded, and I pulled back in him in a safe way so that we could get the tire off. So we get the tire off, we put the donut on, and the donut tire is, we put that on, and you know, as you look at it, so right now when you go home, you can do this, check your donut pressure, tire pressure, because it says inflate to 60 PSI, and it was 16. And I usually have a compressor with me, but unfortunately, the fuse in it, the top had come off, and the fuse wasn't there. So I went looking for fuses, and none of them fit, and it just didn't work. So I said, well, we're right up here. We'll drive off, and we'll get off on Havre de Grace. I'll follow you, hazard lights, all that kind of stuff. We did that. We pulled off. We pulled into the Royal Farms. Now, meanwhile, I'm preparing for something. I had to go meet a couple for a wedding. I had several different things going on in my mind. And so I didn't plan on even leaving the house, let alone going and helping change a tire, going ahead and making sure I'm in Havre de Grace to go ahead and get this this air compressor so it will blow up some and get that donut tire. But I'm doing it. We get in there. He pulls in. We pull into where the air is, and we get out, and he goes, "You got to be kidding me." And it had no air nozzle on the top. And I'm like, here we go. So as I'm sitting there, then I'm calling a tire place where I get tires, asking them if they have these kind of tires, getting a price so he can go get them at least the next day. And we're talking, and all of a sudden I heard this behind me. He said, it was a voice that was really kind of quiet. It's like, excuse me, can you, and I turn around, and I see this African-American man. He looked a little bit disheveled, looked like he probably hadn't bathed in a while, was standing there. And he said, do you have anything that I could have? And I said, excuse me, what? Now, meanwhile, my body's there, but my mind is 8 million miles away. You with me? So if you had asked me at that moment, are you there? I would have said no, because I am on the phone getting tires. I'm trying to make sure what are we going to do now that we don't have an air pump? And now I've got this person who just came in the middle of nowhere, who I don't know. And we're at this Royal Farms, and he says, yeah, do you have any money? And I looked at him, I said, are you going to buy any drugs with it? And he goes, no. And I said, well, hold on a second, because I rarely ever just give money. But there was that temptation at that moment just to get money, to get him out of my face, so I could go back to doing what I needed to do. And I said, well, hold on a second, if you will. Let me get my son taken care of here, and then I'll take you in. You want to go into Royal Farms? And he says to me, well, I was really looking about getting something over the pizza place. And you know what we usually think? You think, okay, beggars can't be choosers, right? That's what I'm thinking at this moment. Bartimaeus here talking to me. But Jesus, you know, Jesus didn't tell him what he was going to do for him. He asked him, what do you want me to do for you? So at that moment, I stopped and I said, hang in here for a second. So I got Jacob ready. He was good to go. And I said, okay, I'll meet you right over there at that pizza place. You walk on over there. Be careful. Walk on over there, and I'll meet you over. Meanwhile, my mind is a billion miles away. I pull in. I get in there. I was over there a little bit before him. I'm watching him come across the road. Here he comes. He gets over there. And I got to the door, and I said, hey, what's your name? And he told me his name was Malik. And I said, okay, come on in. So we walked in. And again, I'm not doing this for my pat on the back at all. It's just God forced Jack to be in a moment at that moment. I didn't want to be in that moment. I had other stuff to do, but God placed me in a moment. I walked into the place, and I said, okay, go ahead and order what you want. And he said, well, can I get a soda? I said, how about a couple? He said, you can have two sodas? Sure. And I said, do you want a sub or something to take with you later? He's like, no. I really like some wings. And I said, how many wings do you have? And the lady was really nice. She ran down several different wings, and she said, 5 and a couple other things. And he said, well, I'll just take 5. I said, how about 10? Give him 10. So he's going through this, and I said, what about that? You like any of those cakes or anything? And so now I'm fully engaged in a moment. I'm fully engaged to say I want to do whatever I can for him. at that moment. And then he ordered that. I paid for it. We sat down. And I said, so, Malik, how did you get here? I said, where are you from? He said, I'm from Baltimore. And I said, okay. I said, how did you get here? He said, well, I came down. I said, no. How did you get here? How did you get this place in your life? How did you get here? He said, well, I have family, and they moved to California, and I didn't want to go. And then I came down there. I said, where have you been staying? He said, I've been staying at a hotel, and I got Social Security, and got some things there. And I said, so what's your plan? Well, I might have to find another hotel. I said, no, what's your plan? I said, how did you get here? I said, okay, are drugs involved? And he said, no. I said, listen, buddy, I bought your food. I'm not taking it back. I said, did drugs help contribute to you getting to this place in life? And he said, yeah. I said, what was it, heroin? He said, no, it was pills. I said, not a good result. I said, but let me tell you something, buddy. I said, God loves you and has a plan for your life. Because I got to tell you right now, I'm not even supposed to be off my couch. I was at home, and my son's tire blew. You saw that. I usually have an air pump. We're usually probably on our way back to 95. We had to come off of there. And right here, you and I are here. And I said, I want to let you know right now. I don't know whether you believe it or not. This is a God moment. And he's telling you, Malik, he loves you. At that moment. Now, that's not, again, that is not a pat on the back. Because I told you, Jack did not want to be there. Jack likes his money, too. Jack did not want to spend it, either. But at that moment, God put a Bartimaeus in my path. And I don't know what's going to happen to Malik, but I can pray that maybe his eyes are opened and he sees something he's never saw in his life. All because God said, Jack, I need you to be in the moment fully engaged with this person that people walk by every day. Our second story from Luke chapter 19 mentions Jericho again. It says, as Jesus entered Jericho, Jesus is running back and forth through Jericho. Luke tells us this time he's actually going somewhere. He was passing through, so he was moving through. He had somewhere to be. And as Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. Now notice, Jesus had already been interrupted by a poor blind beggar. Now he's going to be interrupted by a rich, corrupt tax collector. Which I love because that's something that we learn about Jesus. He's got time for the down and out, and he's got time for the up and out. He's got time for anyone and a heart for anyone. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter how bad your baggage is. It doesn't matter if you're dirty. It doesn't matter whether you've been on pills or heroin. It doesn't matter whether you're hungry or you're not. It doesn't matter how rich you are or how poor you are. Jesus simply cares for you. And because Jesus does, then we should too. So Jesus stops for this guy named Zacchaeus. Now, what do we know about Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. That's what I know about Zacchaeus, right? Any of my Sunday school people here? Like, for instance, do I need to go into a verse of the Bible? That's a book for me. Or what about hiding under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine. Come on, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. What's interesting, they have a tree outside of Jericho that is a sycamore tree. It's not the one because it's too new. But a sycamore tree has a wide stump, and then it goes out this way. So if Zacchaeus got up in that tree and he's a wee little man, I see this wee little rich man shimmying up and hanging on to a big branch hanging on there just to see Jesus. And Jesus walks, here is Jesus coming by. And one of the reasons why I believe Zacchaeus couldn't get to see Jesus, not only because he's this little tiny dude, but also because he is a chief tax collector. And for us, we don't understand that, but here's what it means to them. In that culture, the Romans collected taxes, and they would have other people that collected taxes for them, and they would have a chief tax collector, and they would have tax collectors underneath them. And what would happen is, so if let's say you had to pay 10% to the Roman government, well, the tax collector who came to your house may charge you 20%. And then when it got to the chief tax collector, he may want 15 or 20 or 30%. And they would take the others. So tax collectors were very wealthy because most of them were crooks. Matthew was a tax collector, Levi. And so it was in this genre that was here. So they would have been viewed as some of the most corrupt people. You find so many times he sits with tax collectors and sinners. You'll see that. And they would have added this exorbitant amount to what you already owed. And many people, when Jesus started teaching the people the Beatitudes, it was because many of them were homeless because of some of the practices of these tax collectors. Zacchaeus, being the chief tax collector, was extra despised. And they would have viewed him as corrupt. So Jesus sees this little tiny guy up in a tree, and he calls him by name. He says, "Zacchaeus, come on down." So Jesus kind of invites himself over for lunch. Remember what Luke said. Jesus was passing through Jericho. He had a crowd with him. He sees this little guy shimmying up a tree and says, "Ooh, that looks like a wee little man to me. That's Zacchaeus. Get down here, Zacchaeus. I'm going to your house for lunch. Let's go." And he takes time, even though he's passing through, he becomes fully engaged. He gives a no good sinner his full attention. Jesus has already been interrupted by Bartimaeus. Now he's interrupted by Zacchaeus. Look at what it says here. It says, "All the people saw this," Jesus going to the house of Zacchaeus, "and they began to mutter, 'He has gone to be the guest of a sinner.'" Zacchaeus heard this murmuring, and he stood up, probably about this high. He probably stood up, right about this time. And he said, look, Lord, here and," what's that word? "Now." What is it? "Here and now. Here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay them back four times the amount." Zacchaeus has this moment of deep repentance in the presence of the Son of God. Can't you see, like, he's kind of just so overwhelmed, and he says, "You know, I've just messed up so many times, I've sinned so many times, I've hurt so many people, and I'm so sorry. I'll do anything, and I can make it up. I will make it up." And he just blurts out, "I'll give away half of what I got to the poor." Bam, there goes that. He says, "Oh, anybody else? Form a line. If I wronged you, I will pay you four times as much." The reason why Zacchaeus did this is because he was convicted to the heart. And look at what Jesus does. He looks at Zacchaeus and says, that means he would have looked down like this, Zacchaeus. He looked at him and he said, "Today," when is it? "Today, right now, in this moment, salvation has come to this house." You know why it came that day? Because Jesus, who was busy passing through, was not so rushed that he didn't have time to stop for a wee little man in a tree, a wee little man who was sinful, who needed salvation and healing. And salvation came to that house that day, that moment. And if it did for Zacchaeus, it can for you and me too. Jesus had given him undivided attention in the moment. He stops and gives people one of the greatest gifts he can, his attention and his love. Unfortunately, I'm not Jesus. I'm not always fully present in the moment. I wish I was at times. Like, I'm somebody, I see things, but sometimes I just miss the moment. I miss the moment because I'm often far away from where my feet are. Like, I am somebody who is always in the past and always in the future. I am rarely in the moment right now. And I just don't want to just be there for the happy moments, for the up moments, for the powerful moments, for the outward meaningful moments. But I want to be present for all moments, even the annoying moments, the real annoying moments. I wonder if I ask you, how many of you have lived in the middle of an annoying moment? Like right now, how many of you have an annoying moment in your life right now? You know, I've been thinking a lot about this because some seasons of life tend to be more annoying than others. I can remember, I was thinking back to the, remembering the early years of raising five kids. And one of the things I always remembered was, I always remembered coming home and that there were some days that I would just be annoyed because there were toys absolutely everywhere. We actually had our early living room when we first moved in was a toy room, and it was just wall-to-wall toys. And then we fixed the basement, and it was wall-to-wall toys, but they would still be all over the place. And, you know, one of the most annoying things is, have you ever stepped barefoot on a Lego? Let me tell you, that there is nothing more painful than barefoot on a Lego. Those things, I think, will last through a nuclear holocaust. You know, it's just interesting. I remember toys all over the place, all over the place, all over the place. And I remember thinking, my gosh, one day, someday, I'm going to have a clean house. Someday, all these toys are just going to be out of the way, and I just can't wait for that day. Now, I'm still somewhat annoyed because, you know, I think we're often kind of slobs in our house at times, but and it drives Melissa crazy at times. Can you please clean up or whatever? But seriously, though, I was thinking, because by the end of this week, my oldest daughter, Emigail, is getting married, and she's moved out. And I started thinking about, you know, like, just coming home and getting used to the fact that they were always there and their stuff was always there. And just like other things, that when they were little and they were hurt and crying, all of the kids, when they were little and hurt and crying, that you could just pick them up and make it better. And now they've got problems and issues and situations that dad can't just pick them up and make it better and make it go away. Or when I was on an important phone call, something like that phone call was so important. And meanwhile, they're going, daddy, 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 she hit me, daddy, she won't give me this, daddy, daddy. And you go, would you please shut up? I am on the phone. Do not leave me alone right now when I'm on the phone. I said, go. Yeah, I'm right here. Okay, yeah, I got you, my phone. Go, go. And you're like kicking them away, like, or whatever you're trying to do in those moments. And at that moment, you would hang up the phone. Let me tell you, you do not interrupt me when I'm on the phone. Anybody ever relate to any of this? And you just can't wait. I can't wait till you learn some manners and don't bother me when I'm on the phone. And then what's interesting is you look now and you say, wow, where's Judah? He's in his room. I haven't seen him since yesterday. Or where's Jacob? Oh, he's at work, and then he's at his girlfriend's, and he's here, he's standing there, and is Emigail coming over today? Yeah, she has to work, but then I think she's at her house. And you started to realize that I spent so much of my time complaining about moments today that I miss tomorrow. You're literally complaining about the very moments right now that you're going to miss one day in the future. Jesus never did that. He was fully engaged in the good, the bad, the ugly. You guys still here? If you're still here, tell me, I'm here. Ready? All right, let's say it one more time. Are you here? All right. The reason why is because statistically, the odds say that I've lost some of you. Harvard did a study. It's an eye-opening study. It says 47% of the time, people's minds are not in the same place their feet are. That's exactly what they said. 47% of the time that you're in a conversation with someone, your mind is not fully engaged. I actually did a seminar one time, and when I would teach, I taught classes, I would do this. I would have two people sit in front of each other, and they would write something, gone on the paper, and anytime they'd be talking to someone face to face, when their mind wandered, they put it up. You know how many times people put that up in front of them when they're talking? I'll tell you, 47% of the time. So 47% of the time, you're sitting in church, your mind is somewhere else. It's 47% of the time, you're at dinner with your family, your mind's somewhere else. 47% of the time, when you're with someone at work, talking to someone at work, your mind's somewhere else. 47% of the time, when you're talking to someone in the gym, you're thinking of something else. 47% of the time when you're in the middle of a group, your mind is somewhere else. Almost half of your waking life, your mind is not fully engaged where the rest of your body is. a big enemy of our attention is this thing right here. Everybody got it? It's a main thing, our mobile device, our cell phones, our whatever. And it's gonna shock you, because it shocked me, but to think how distracted we are by that. Here's a number I want to tell you. The average cell phone user touches their phone 2,617 times a day. The average user. That's a lot of times you're not really in the moment. Reaching for it. Over and over. Reaching. And what that's telling us is what is in front of you isn't as important as what's here. Time and time again. I know we need it for certain things, but much of the time, we don't end up talking with someone. We got to go ahead and make sure we get that latest TikTok video and make sure we know what it's about, or that latest conspiracy theory thing that my friend sent me, or checking to see if I got any likes on my picture or whatever. But some of us are so above average. I mean, some of us we're overachievers. We are good overachievers. We don't just accept average. If the average is 2,617 times a day, the top 10% of cell phone users touch their phones. You ready for this? 5,400 times per day. 5,400 times a day. That's gross. That's disgusting. Think everywhere your hands have been, and that's where you have, and you're putting it up to your face and your ear, and your other people are barring and everything. Thousands of times a day. We're not engaged with whoever's in front of us or whatever is in front of us. Our mind is somewhere else. If it's not the phone, sometimes it's maybe we just are playing games in our mind. I play games in my mind all the time. Like, for instance, some of my top two games in my mind, the first one that I've had for most of my life is the when-then game. Anybody play the when-then game? That one day when, then I'm going to be happy. Like, for instance, you guys may do that when you were a kid. And it's like, when I get to high school, then I'm a freshman and I'm cool. And then when I'm a sophomore, I'm even cooler. But when I'm a senior, look out, then I rule this place. And when I turn 18, then I'm going to show people how to live life. When I'm 18, then I'm an adult. Mm-hmm, right? That's anybody, I think every person has said that one before. When I get out of college, then I'll pay off that debt. When I get a real job, then I'll have a nice car and a nice house. When I get married, then we will live happily ever after. When we have children, then they will be perfect. When they are not in diapers, then life will be less messy. When they're grown up, then I won't have to worry about them too much. Then when I'm older in diapers, you get it? You see what I'm saying? Then they'll have to change me. I mean, this is where we get to in life, the when-then game. We play the when-then game through life. And so many of us are literally going through life wishing the current moments away for when, then, instead of being in the now that God has provided for us. What I want to say to you is don't miss what you have now pursuing what you want later. God is doing something in the now so that you can have the best that is still to come. The second game that I've played before is the what if game, where we project into the future. What if this happens? You might do that. So for instance, what if I don't pass this test? Then what if I don't get into a good college? Then what if I don't get a good job? Then what if I don't have an attractive spouse? Then we'll have dumb and ugly kids. And then if I can't afford those braces because I don't have a good job, then they're going to have summer teeth, like some are here, some are there. Then what if I've ruined my kids all because I didn't pass that test? And then what happens if the government ruined, the economy's ruined, and the government didn't work out and the economy's ruined? And what if zombies attack, and on and on and on? And do you realize, I heard this week, blew my mind away, that the government, the Pentagon, actually has a plan in case zombies do attack us. So you can rest secure tonight. That's our government working for us, right? But what I'm saying is, what if, the what if game leaves us, dreaming and hoping and wishing, which aren't all bad, but we're missing the moment. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, Jesus addressed the what-if game by saying, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Jesus says, don't worry about what's coming. Today's got enough problems. Jesus wasn't for anti-planning. He just said, don't stress so much about the future because there's enough stuff to deal with today. Let me ask you, are you here? Are you still here? Because in the way that Jesus lived, he displayed, is really, really important for our present moment. So why do you think we so often aren't fully present? I think because sometimes we're just distracted. And the other thing is, I think because we lack faith. We're all freaked out about something that happened a long time ago or something that's possibly going to happen, and we try to undo it or limit it or fix it or undo it. We're all freaked out about what's going to happen in the future, and we try to figure out, like, what can we do, what we actually do. But the main thing that we can actually do is this, and I have these blanks here on your sheet, is to surrender the past that you can't change. Yesterday's gone. There's a great song about that by Fleetwood Mac. Yesterday's gone, okay? It's gone. There's nothing we can do about there. There's nothing you can do about what happened 5 years ago. There's nothing about what you can do that even happened yesterday. So surrender the past that you can't change. So you have a past. Good. So do I. So does everyone. You can't change it. But what you can do is trust God with a future that you can't control. Trust God with a future that you can't control. The only way to be fully present in the moment is to let go of the past that you cannot change. You may be wronged. You may have done stuff wrong, but let it go because you can't change it. No matter what you do, you have to trust God and surrender your future and trust that God is good and that he cares, that he's already there because he has redeemed the past and because he's promised us a good future in him. Remember last week we talked about God is working in all things for the good of those who love him. And that is your future. In James chapter 4, I love the way that James, the half-brother of Jesus, phrases this. He says, come now. Somebody say, come now. Come now. Notice he didn't say, come in a couple days. Or now, in the moment. Come in the moment. You who say, today or tomorrow, we're going to go into such and such a town and spend a year there or trade and make a profit. Anybody ever made any plans that got changed? Anybody remember the end of 2019 into 2020? Kind of changed everything for us, right? COVID happened, and many of us, all those plans we had, we didn't go anywhere for a while. I mean, so what James is saying, you guys think you have it all figured out. You're planning. You're going to go do this and go do that and go do that. And it's okay if you want to make plans, but be in the moment. Don't miss the moment for the plans that may never happen. And James asks this pressing question. He says, what is your life? What is your life? For you're a mist that appears for a little while and vanishes. Now, I did this verse one time, and I went ahead and put water in my mouth and spit it out. I'm not going to do that because of everything. But if you go ahead and you put your mouth up against the window and you ever go on against it and it goes shh, how long does it stay there? James is saying that's your life. That's my life. It's here and gone. It's a wisp. For you young people and those, you know, the people who like to vape, it's a big cloud and gone. That's your life. For you're a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. And so when I think about this, I think one of the best illustrations happens to be from an hourglass. I always liked hourglass. It might have been my whole connection back to the Wizard of Oz thing. But there's a couple things that I see about the hourglass. Number one, don't you get kind of freaked out a little bit when that's going, like how fast the sand is going? I remember playing board games when I was little and they turn that over and you'd be like, hurry, hurry, hurry. And everybody would yell when it got down to the end. But the one thing is, there's three things. Nobody knows how much sand is on top. You think you know how much sand is there. But there's a lot of people who thought there was a lot more sand in their life than there really was. So no one knows that. The other thing is, no matter what you do, you can't stop that sand from going. Sure, you can flip it back and that, but your life doesn't allow you to flip it back and rewind it. If your life is this, that the time is running out, and if you miss the moment now that we've been talking about, that moment is gone forever. And sands, like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. That's exactly what's happening. It's ticking, it's going. You see it. And there's like some anticipation there. There's some nervousness as we see the sand that's just pouring out more and more and more and more and more and more. And if we look at our lives, that it's just being poured out more and more, it can be depressing at some times because time is passing. It's passing, and every day, every moment is a gift from God. Today is a gift from God. You got up today, and today's a gift from God. And this week hasn't worked out the way I wanted it to because of all this other stuff, but it's a day that God has given to me. And it's going, and it's getting closer, and it's getting closer. Today's a gift from God, and some of us are wishing it away moment by moment. And moment by moment. And as we watch and we see, there it is. Once the sand is at the bottom, you can never get it back. Those moments that annoyed me so much, riding in a car with babies screaming, riding in a car with having to change diapers and just and fight them fighting in the back and stuff, they're gone. Going with strollers into amusement parks or everywhere, which was just hauling every single sand toy over the beach in some cart that didn't work at all. I was like, I cannot wait till this. Those moments gone. That's why at the beginning of this message, I ask everybody here to stand to celebrate this moment. Because at that moment, we were all together in the presence of God, the very way we are here right now. The most important moment of your life is simply experiencing God right now with God's people. Psalm 118, 24, I love what David said. He says, "This is the day that the Lord has made." You've got today. This is the day, and because it is God's day, I will rejoice and be glad in it. If you're still here, and I hope you still are, because I want to tell you something. Three quick things. You can't be happy where you're not. You can't be happy where you're not. And you can't serve Jesus where you're not. And you can't love people the way Jesus did where you're not. This is the day that the Lord has made. The most important moment is right now. The most important person is the one who is right in front of you. That's the most important moment. And what we recognize, and what I recognize, is I used to want to live for the big moments, the special moments, the powerful moments, and I like those. But the more I've been trying to work on being present, which is so difficult for me, I've recognized that the most powerful moments are often the smallest moments. The most meaningful moments often aren't the mountaintops. The most important moments are usually the ones where something funny happened in the middle of a conversation, somebody said something wrong, and we just started as a family laughing or making fun of it. It's the conversations that I have with the ones that I love. Please don't miss out on what you have now, pursuing what you want later. This is the day, the moment that the Lord has made. And when you look at it the way that Jesus lived, not just the truth he taught, but as the way he lived, he walked along. And people were not interruptions or inconveniences. They were moments and opportunities to engage and show the goodness and the love of God. This moment is all that you have, this moment. And to be fair, I don't want you to feel like I'm trying to guilt you or make you feel bad, because anybody who knows me knows I am Joe Distraction. I am like all the time. Cat with a laser pointer, that's Jack Cohen. And I struggle all the time in my own nature, my own ADHD, my own everything, and I can hardly be anywhere at any moment. I've said to you before, I'm the loneliest person. I'm far away in a full room. And so I'm working on this. This is hard for me. I'm working on this. I actually have taken this thing that I'm going to touch some 2,000 to 5,000 sometimes a day, and I've gone ahead and I've got myself some applications, some apps. I've actually put my money where my mouth is, and I've got one called Headspace that forces me to take time in the day to sit for 10, 15, 20 minutes and just calm down and just calm my stop. I have another one that I love. It's called Glorify. It's a Bible app, and it starts in the morning, and it gives me a cool quote, and then it gives me a Bible verse, and they'll read it to me if I want them to, in a very British voice, and it could be a male British guy or a female British voice. I think it's Jesus. You know, it's just great. And then they'll have like this kind of you know, go in depth on the scripture, and they'll talk about it. And it's got nice music behind it, and then if you want to do more, it's got another little. You got to be still and you got to think about things. It's like, it's hard for me to be still, but I'm making an attempt to recognize that this is the day, this is the moment that the Lord has made. And so when you think about Jesus, if there was any time that he would have been distracted from others, that he would have been self-absorbed like we often are, there's one moment that would have been the biggest self-absorbed, distracted from others, and it would have been when he was on the cross. I mean, think about it. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, is stripped down naked. He's beaten. He's whipped and flogged so much that he didn't even look like himself. His back was open and bleeding, and probably his internal organs were hanging out. He's forced to carry a big 75-pound railroad tie on his back, pretty much. Then he's hung on a cross, nailed between his wrists and his feet, having to push up with the nail in his feet and the pull up with the ones in his hands, in his wrists, just to breathe. As people cursed him and went by and spit at him, he was between two thieves, and this one criminal next to him decides to have a conversation. And I got to tell you, that's the last time. I would not blame Jesus if he said, "Would you just please be quiet?" But the criminal right next to him looks at Jesus, has a conversation. He says something, probably more than what's reported, but he probably said, "You know what? Hey, Jesus, I've done a lot of bad things, and I really feel bad about it, and I'm really, really sorry." And whatever he said, we do know that he did say this. He said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus, in the middle of his greatest suffering, maybe the greatest suffering of anybody in the history of the world, the most painful moments of Jesus' life, he becomes fully engaged with a criminal on a cross, a stranger, a sinner, someone who's done some of the worst things ever. And he looks over at him and says, today, right now, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus fully engaged in the moment. I don't know who this is for, but you can't be happy where you're not. You can't serve Jesus where you're not. You can't love people the way Jesus did where you're not. And if your mind is not where your body is 47% of the time, you're missing out on the fullness of life that God has for you, that he's given to you. It's right in front of you. You can't be a great friend if you're not there. You can't be an engaged mother or father if you're not there. You can't have a great marriage or great relationship or anything if you're not present fully. Until you recognize that this is the day, this is the moment that the Lord has made, and because of that, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Like Jesus' first miracle, God has saved the best for you now. Now in the moment, you could experience his grace. Now you can experience his mercy. You could experience his forgiveness. His power is here. His freedom is here. His grace is here. His goodness and presence are here. In this moment, God is here with us now. And even though I'm not physically present with you here now, and don't worry, everything's going to be cleaned up here and around here, just to make sure, we make sure everybody's safe. I want to let you know, even though I'm not physically present with you here today, God wants me to tell you that your best days are now. If you'll fully engage with the people that God has in front of you. Not just the people that you love in front of you, the people that God places in front of you. The Maliks in life. When you're too busy. The Bartimaeus, the Zacchaeus shimmying up your tree in the neighbor's yard. Pour out your heart in the moment knowing that tomorrow is not a promise. But now is a moment you can experience God. Your best moment can be right now. Engage in the moment. Be where your feet are and see who God has put in front of you. This is the day, the moment the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. Are you still here? If you're still here, say, I'm still here. Say, I'm still here. I'm still here. Let's pray and go before God the Father. As the worship team comes up. Stand, if you will, and we'll just praise God and pray for him. Pray to him right now. Father, thank you so much for your word. And I pray that you would bring us, God, into your perfect will in this moment so that you can do exactly what you want to do. So as you're praying wherever you are today, if your mind has drifted, let it come back for a moment. If you're tired of rushing through life and you want a better way, you want to choose a better way, you want to choose the way that Jesus lived and loved, just say, Jesus, I want to be fully engaged with undivided attention in the moment. Now, what that means is that God is going to put people in your path that are going to cause you to be engaged in the now. So, God, I thank you for working in the lives of so many people. And so here's my prayer, God. I know that this is not something that we change on our own. But I pray by your Holy Spirit, you'll begin to prompt us to be in the moment again and again and again. We may have to listen to this message over and over and over again. Put it on repeat. Listen to it once, twice, three times a day. But God, drive this deep into our hearts and our minds. So when our mind drifts from a conversation with a child or from an intimate connection with someone we love or from what could be an opportunity to minister or care for somebody, and when we're tempted to pick up the phone instead of be engaged or worry about the past or obsess about the future, God, help us to surrender a past we cannot change and to trust you with a future we cannot control and be fully engaged in the moment that we have. Help us to draw our minds to where we can love people the way you loved. So God, convict us, empower us, change us to be more like Jesus, to live the way that Jesus lived, to be fully engaged in the moment, showing your love in all that we do. For some of you, the most important moment of your life is right now. When I ask you a question, how are you doing with God? You may feel far from God. You may feel guilty about something that you've done. Let me tell you about the goodness of God in this moment. You're here, whether you're online or whether you're here weeks from now or you're right here present. If you are here and fully engaged, you're here watching this because God wants you here. And he knew that this moment would happen and he loved you enough to bring you to a place where there's a message that might get through to your hearts. So here's what God wants you to know. He wants you to know he loves you right now. No, he doesn't need to hear why he shouldn't love you. He knows it and he loves you right now. No matter what you've done in your past, no matter what you're worried about in your future. He showed his love for you in Jesus, who was without sin and died on the cross as a replacement for our sins. God raised him up. Why? So that anyone who calls on the name of Jesus, the Son of God, will be completely forgiven. Not because you're good, but because he's that good. So in this moment, when you call on the name of Jesus, God hears. And in that moment, you can move from darkness to light, from shame to freedom. You can move from wondering where you stand with God to peace that goes beyond all understanding. Today, some of you are being drawn in by saying, I need his undeserved love and favor. Something is drawing you in. It's the Holy Spirit. That's his goodness. And all you need to say is, I want your forgiveness, and I will choose to live a better way. Now in this moment, he wants to make you new. You know it. You can feel it. You can sense it. And that's why you're here. Wherever you're watching, just say, I need your grace. I need your forgiveness. By faith, I surrender my life to you, Jesus. I give my life to you. So Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sin. Jesus, if I've strayed and I put other things that are important and I've been rushing through life so much that I've missed opportunities of the moment, forgive me, save me, make me new, fill me with your Spirit so I can follow you, to show your love in all that I do. My life is not my own. I give it to you. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad with it. Take it.
I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. Been so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Of the goodness of God. I'm gonna sing. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, gonna sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
Amen. Everybody have a terrific week.